God, open our hearts to your word, a word that passes swiftly and faithfully from the ear to the heart and the heart to the life. Amen. Exactly 1 year ago today, I moved to North Carolina. I moved to Durham and into my apartment where I finally met my roommate whom I just met on Facebook a few months prior. It all worked out. He's a great friend. And as you can imagine, it was a very pleasant day to move all my belongings up 3 flights of steps. And the next day, as my parents and my brother drove away down 15501, I realized I wasn't in Tennessee anymore. Until I got here today and see all this orange. This is great. A lot has changed over the course of this year. I got married. I finished a year of divinity school. I've made lots of amazing friends. I ate many breakfasts at Elmo's. I got married. I moved apartments. I read and wrote way more than I ever had before. I talked on the phone more. I went to a lot less Tennessee football games and basketball games. And I got married. What a year it was. A year full of change, excitement, friendships, community, and breakfast foods. However, there was a void in my life ever since I moved to Durham 1 year ago. I've met so many amazing people at the Divinity School, and we formed such a great community over this past year. And I'm anxiously anticipating all of us being together again really soon. But as great as these friendships and this community is, I desired more. A community of faith. And while there is a faith aspect to our community, full of divinity students and spouses, it doesn't replace being part of a community of faith known as the local church. Being part of a church community. And this summer, being part of Long Memorial has filled that hole in my heart. I feel complete being a part of this community, being a part of Long Memorial, being part of the special community of faith. And so thank you for all that you've done for Ashland and for me. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for inviting us to join you at the table, for all the support you've given us as we began our lives together. Thank you for letting me journey with you these 10 weeks, for inviting me into your homes, into your hospital rooms. Thank you for listening to me, putting up with me, and letting me be a part of your lives these 10 weeks. And thank you to Ed for everything. There are not enough words to express my gratitude towards Ed for bringing me along and letting me ride shotgun. It's been quite a journey. Ashley and I are very lucky to be part of this community of faith, and it's been an honor and privilege to serve with you all this summer. Today's text brings us to another community of faith, the people of Israel. And the prophet Isaiah addresses the Israelites and their habits of worship. Last time I preached from the book of Amos. And Amos is a minor prophet, not because his message is less important than a major prophet. He's considered a minor prophet because his writings are considerably smaller than those of the major prophets. Amos has 11 chapters. But today we're reading from Isaiah, a major prophet. And again, Isaiah is not a major prophet because his message is more important than Amos's, but because Isaiah's writings are longer. Isaiah has 66 chapters and takes a lot more than one sitting to get through. God and Isaiah bring the people of Israel to trial, for they have committed injustices by practicing idolatry and worshiping half-heartedly. Isaiah wants the people of Israel to know that, yes, idolatry and injustice will take down the enemy empires of Assyria and Babylon. But idolatry and injustice will also be used to issue judgment upon themselves, the people of Israel. And so Isaiah makes this accusation speech to begin his prophecy, an attempt to persuade this community of faith to change their behavior to avoid the punishment. He begins with a bang as he compares the people of Israel to the most notorious and sinful Canaanite cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, where greed and injustice run rampant throughout these cities. Isaiah warns Israel that they will be destroyed for their wickedness, just as God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness. And I assume this caught the Israelites off guard. They worshiped God. They worshiped Yahweh, the God of Israel. They offered many burnt offerings of rams and other fatted animals. They offered the blood of bulls, lambs, and goats. They performed the rituals required of them in the law that God handed down Moses. They observed the appointed festivals they were supposed to. They even made sure to observe the Sabbath. They thought they were doing everything right. They thought they were checking off all the boxes to remain in good standing with God. But these offerings were empty to God, for injustice and idolatry laced these offerings and these festivals. This continued into their prayer life. The Israelites prayed many prayers. Sometimes they even prayed lengthy prayers. But God couldn't even look at them. God doesn't want these Israelites to enter any place of worship. These people have become a burden to God. Now, what I think actually happened, this isn't any textbooks or anything, but I think their pastor had led them astray for a while. And so now the intern, Isaiah, is coming in and trying to fix it.
This concludes. We thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just kidding. There's a serious problem here. Injustice and idolatry are stained on the people of Israel. There's no opportunity for the people to defend themselves in the text. There's no speech of defense. And so from the perspective of the text, the people's actions are considered indefensible. But instead, the people are afforded the opportunity to respond to the charges brought against them by changing their behavior. To wash the stain of injustice and idolatry from themselves, Isaiah lists a handful of imperatives. And for the Israelites to be clean, Isaiah calls for more than ritual purity. Isaiah calls for a deeper purification of the life lived. Isaiah says, "Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Devote yourselves to justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow." These are the requirements Isaiah lays out for justice and righteousness. And this suggests to me that the community of faith is not so much defined for its worship on Sunday mornings, but rather how we live our lives And this isn't to say that worshiping on Sunday mornings isn't important. I am not saying that at all. Because gathering together as a community of faith for worship is one of the most important things the church can do. But as we learn from Isaiah this morning, if our worship doesn't match up with the way we live, then it's empty before God. And so, whereas God could have issued a guilty verdict against this community of faith, God instead offers transformation, an opportunity to gain new life, a new start, a forgiveness that never ends, from blood-stained red, crimson red, to white like snow. These promises that God and Isaiah issue show us the way God spoke to this particular community. These promises help us understand Jesus. And these promises help us understand what God still intends to do in our world and in our communities. And for the best example, we have to look no further than the resurrected Christ. Jesus pleads for the widow, defends the orphan, rescues the oppressed. Jesus' ministry is built upon these words we find in Isaiah. Jesus' community of faith is built upon these words. Jesus' life is built around serving others, watching out for others, defending those who are defenseless, standing up for those who no one else would stand up for, doing good for the kingdom of God, not simply rituals. Jesus offered a ministry where love, mercy, and grace extended beyond geographical, socioeconomic, political, and cultural boundaries. Jesus models a community that gives us a glimpse of the kingdom of God. And community, at its best, offers us a glimpse of the kingdom of God. And I believe I caught a glimpse of that magnificent kingdom this summer. I caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God in Harris Hall just a few weeks ago as we gathered around the table, broke bread with one another, and shared our stories to this community. I caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God as we went to go help serve our brothers and sisters lunch at the Christian Help Center. I caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God watching so many kids running around chasing me across the lawn and the playground at VBS. I caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God as people put more items into the Barley backpack bin. But really, I caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God watching you all give back to this community. For kids will have food for the weekend because of you. I caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God watching this community surround Gail, Mr. B, and Helene in difficult times. I caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God each Sunday in worship as we proclaimed the word, sang the word, and offered our gifts. I caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God visiting with you, enjoying your company, and listening to you. I caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God the way you welcomed Ashlyn and I into this community. And so as I leave this place today, I encourage you, long memorial, this community of faith, to live into these words from Isaiah, to extend this community of faith outside the brick and mortar of these walls to our greater Roxborough community. May this community be a place where we can be honest with each other and struggle with each other, doubt each other and stand by each other, grieve with each other and rejoice with each other, May this community be a group of people who can share their life together. May this community not get caught up in the rituals, but rather in the way we live as the community of faith. May this community give witness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. May this community, Long Memorial, offer a glimpse of the kingdom of God to all. The community of faith in Isaiah was not defined for their ritual worship, their sacrifices, or their offerings, but rather the way they lived. The way they lived as the community of faith. And my hope and prayer for you always is that Long Memorial will be defined by how you all live your lives as a community of faith and offer a glimpse of the kingdom of God to all you encounter. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Devote yourselves to justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. And always offer a glimpse of the kingdom of God. May it be so. Amen. One of the most important things we do as the community of faith is pray together. We pray for those that lay heavy in our hearts, but we pray for each other and each other's hearts and burdens they bear to let each other know they aren't in this alone, but we are the community of faith together. And so as we come today to our prayer time, we have these prayers to offer up. We continue to pray for our custodian, Roland. We continue to pray for Jim Kearse. We pray for all those who are grieving. The family of Mr. B, Brantley Burnett, and Helene Moran. We pray for the District Committee of Ordained Ministry as they meet this week with students much like myself who are discerning their call into ministry. We pray for Diana Morgan. We pray for Ann Lewis. And we continue to pray for Rob Fitzgerald, who's home after surgery. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh God, we give you thanks. Thank you for not giving up on us. We know we are prone to bad habits, to preoccupation ourselves with what we want, with that which we feel comfortable, with fulfilling the obligations that give us affirmation. Thank you for the possibility of conversations with friends, spouses, and family, those who come in our lives as your angels in disguise. So much of our life becomes routine and automated, and we are drawn to live into what next needs to be done. We ask for your help to be courageous in our listening and talking, to be still in order to hear, and to let down our guard. And this, we also ask for our conversations with you. We know there are times you draw near and we want to talk and divert. We know there are times when you desperately want to lead us into green pastures beside still waters to restore our soul, to lead us in right paths. Help us to listen and give courage. Thank you for your persistence, for your love, for the many voices, the many ways in which you try to get through to us. Please do not give up on us, even when we have given up on ourselves. Our God, you draw us back to the fundamentals. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. And yet, we are your people, formed with concerns now in our bones. And so we lift our hearts and our prayers to you for those who are in our hearts and all those who suffer. Oppression, injustice, neglect and poverty, and a sense of being alone against massive powers. We open our hearts and our eyes and ask you to continue to move against all these forces, even if it requires us to move from our comfort. Rally the community of faith, who protect and fight for those who have no one else. And we shall try not to be too far behind. For we will be your people, even in spite of ourselves. We join our voices with the community of faith as we pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now continue in our worship with the giving of our tithes and of our offerings.